Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 309.
The Return of Dan.
I did it.
It's a tough time of the year for me, travel-wise.
Yeah.
Just get ready for a whole lot of tangents, folks. He's back.
And a whole lot of maraca.
That's right.
When you hear what this movie is.
Yeah. And we've been saving it up. We just, for the last, few episodes, we just haven't cursed at all. We're like, let's save it for when
we
Dan
tried to
comes
keep it
back.
Really clean, really inoffensive.
And we knew Dan was coming back, so...
Yeah,
we had to do what we had to do.
I mean, it was pretty much just like, it was like being a church.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, I've been shaking a mental maraca for the past 2 weeks. So.
At us?
I was going to say for the past four years.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be like a Samba de Amigo tournament in here.
Wow. Let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Some quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. Joe?
Yes.
Do you think that there's a new review coming right at you?
No.
You're cheating.
No, I'm not cheating.
You're getting it right too many times in a row.
That's what's the...
I mean, we've already been over this. He refreshes on the hour.
Yeah. So. Every 30 minutes.
Yes, there is not. So you have let us down, listenership.
Rock Dog, here we go.
Rock Dog.
I think we can do a movie worse than Rock Dog.
I think we might be able to.
And we're about to.
Have no fear.
And we're about to. So also, don't forget, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. You can join the League of Show Sharers, people that were kind enough to join the league this week. Julianne Jordan, Librarian Cynthia, Chris James, Griffin Fox Smith, Tom Comiskey, Bud Vogtlin.
That's got to be a new one.
We've said him before, but I struggle with how to say it.
Perfect.
Is it related to Bud Abbott?
Yeah. Wouldn't his last name be Abbott?
Yeah, I mean, I don't, that's kind of how names work, but Tammy Sherman Powers, Jason Michael, who's related to the serial killer from Friday the 13th.
Yeah, excellent, yeah.
Travis Tewitt, who's related to Travis Tritt. Timmy Too Soon's Richard Lawson, who's related to Richard Dawson.
Was he kissing all the ladies?
Yeah, Dustin.
No, wait, who is the 2 and 2 guy?
That's Chuck Woolery.
Chuck Woolery, okay.
Yeah, be back in 2 and 2.
Watch like Richard Dawson now and old clips, and you think, man, that guy must have just reeked of scotch.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You can smell it coming through the TV. Yeah.
Even on Running Man.
Like scotch and high karate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like his payment for Running Man was just scotch.
Yeah, probably.
Like, I work for scale, and by scale, I mean a bottle of
scotch. You know, when you watch it now, you're
Running
like,
Man?
You forget that, you know, he was an actor before he was a drug host.
Yeah.
He was from Match Game.
Because he was on Hogan's Heroes.
Hogan's Heroes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was a regular cast member on Hogan's Heroes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Match Game.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, he had such a long time on The Feud. And
when you were a kid, you could watch Hogan's Heroes roll right in. Family Feud.
And
so you'd see him.
Was
in
he
both.
The original host?
But Match Game.
I believe so. I don't think there was anybody before him, right?
And Match Game is where it was at.
He was a guest.
Did he ever take over after the other guy?
I don't know.
Gene
Rayburn?
Yeah, I feel like
and that weird microphone.
Yeah, the long pull.
It's like, that always bothered me. Like, I just felt like the guest would be like,
even Bob Barker used until the day he retired.
Yeah, God, it was just like.
But
he looked like Harry Potter, where he's just like,
well, it was the 70s. They had airborne herpes. You don't want to get too close.
You know what? I think it was in Charles Nelson Reilly's contract to use that microphone.
No.
That was the thing.
Now, was that the same guy that hosted Joker's Wild?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think the reason he was doing Match Game is there was a big period of time where he was banned from game shows.
Oh.
Because
Gene Rayburn also was banned?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Gene Rayburn was the guy that was the host of the $64,000 question,
right? Yes.
That was rigged.
Yeah.
And so for a long time, like,
really?
He was banned from game shows. So I think he ended up on Match Game because it really wasn't a game. Like, you could win money, but you'd win like $400 or something. Yeah. It was really just an excuse to tell jokes. And
yeah.
It was a joke delivery system.
Right.
Pretty much.
And then he...
Hence the microphone.
Right. And then he went to... And he finally started doing Joker's Wild.
Yeah.
That was a good show. I like Joker's
Wild. Joker! Joker!
Oh, you lost. But that wasn't like on a network. It was like on first run syndication.
Syndication.
Yeah. Because they showed it here at like 9 o'clock at night.
Yep.
It was weird.
No, I remember seeing it during the day.
I think eventually it moved to the day. But like, I remember like my
initially,
dad watched
it. Was like a nighttime show.
Yeah. Interesting. It's no pressure luck.
Yeah.
No whammy.
Stop. Oh, that's a fascinating. We've talked about that before.
Story, yeah.
You need to watch that with the guy that figured out the patterns.
Yeah.
All right. But I mean,
he earned that money.
There was a movie in development for years about that, and Bill Murray.
Bill Murray was attached to it for a while.
It's a fascinating story.
Yeah,
watch that.
They don't make game shows like they used to.
No.
I feel like it's just Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. It's all that managed to survive.
So technically, that is what like they used to.
I guess that's true, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like those are precisely like they used to be.
The prices gone up.
But there was that resurgence for a while. You had Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and Weakest Link. And
you
then,
are the
Deal or No Deal.
Deal or No Deal. Yeah.
That show was stressful. I was like, don't take the money.
Well,
and run.
they put a lot of effort into like the bombast of music and lights
sure.
And
Howie Mandel.
The people are like and Howie Mandel not touching anything.
Yeah.
Give me a fist bump. Let's do that.
I want to see Howie Mandel and Mark Summers co-host a show.
Oh my God.
And it just called
Oh fuck.
And it would just be
Mark
called
Summers.
No Touch.
Yeah. Stay away from the host.
Just No Touch.
Man, I remember I wanted to meet Mark Summers so bad. I don't know why.
Why? Just to throw some gag
on
him?
Like put my hand in dirt and then put my face. No.
Family Double Dare.
He Double Dare, right?
Yeah.
He did
Super Sloppy Double Dare.
Did he do Guts? No.
No, that was
Mike
O'Malley.
Yeah. Oh.
Isn't he on one of
there was
those?
The
Nickelodeon
porn,
did that.
Then there was the... he was on Glee.
Then there was the porn
was,
parody Sloppy Seconds Double Dare.
Oh, yeah.
There it is. Just get that.
Warm it up.
Get those biceps and triceps in motion, Dan.
Sloppy Second Double Team?
No,
stop it. Is that better?
Stop it.
Family, family sloppy seconds?
Yeah, well, according to last week's discussion,
yeah, I know.
It's relevant.
So other people that shared the show this week, Dustin at Nerds and Night Gaming, related to Dustin Hoffman.
What about
Dustin Diamond? I thought
that was ridiculous, Kevin.
Diamond's not his last name.
Yeah. Brent Smith, Nick Scott, Chris Sanders, Zach Bach, and...
Zach Bach?
Zach Bach.
Zach Bach.
Yeah, he's related to Beethoven. And Brandon Coleman. So thank you guys for sharing the show. So what are we going to talk about this week? Well, you probably already know because it's in the show title when you download. But so it's a light week for films.
It's an interesting, like, 2 weeks.
It was really light last week.
Or summer. It's a light week or like summer for films.
That's true.
Yeah, it's been a
foulest summer ever.
Yeah, I mean it's been a pretty bad summer for movies. But last week, what the highest grossing picture
in $10 million
had $10 million, yeah. And no new movies opened this week or no major ones.
This is how slow it is. Last week they re-released Terminator 2: Judgment Day in 3D in theaters and made $500,000, I believe, maybe $300,000.
Let's give James Cameron some
and then
money.
This week they re-released Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Oh, I did see that in 4K though, right? Like it was the upscale.
And then, well. Is it?
I don't
how
know.
Can they?
I have no idea.
I don't think they put 4K projectors in theaters. So
that makes sense.
And then they also did Blade Runner. But I think all of these are just to help fund the 4K. Because I have Blade Runner, but that's coming out next week.
Yeah,
that's 4K.
Now that's the. So this is the 20th cut of Blade Runner.
Yeah.
That they're now saying this is it.
But
this is the one.
But all of these like re-releases are all movies that are coming out in 4K. So I think
it's
just, honestly,
it's
probably just to fund the shipping.
I was just surprised.
And it's a good promotional tool.
Sure.
To remind you.
It's already made, so why not just put it up?
We've also got Blade Runner coming out next month? This month?
The Terminator one's weird. So, first of all, Terminator's been released, 20 different times on home video.
Up there with Back to the Future.
It's the most, for sure. And then they did the 3D conversion, and I was surprised that it only made $200,000 or $300,000 opening weekend, because those movies to convert to 3D, they're not they just run it through a program. They have whole teams. I watched the behind the scenes on Jurassic Park. It's fascinating. Mm-hmm. And have any of you guys seen Jurassic Park in 3D?
No.
It's a really good conversion. Spend millions of dollars and a whole team worked.
Do you think he knew? Did you think he knew?
Spielberg?
Well, in 94, 93? So when did that come out?
Yeah,
94.
No, he knew that something is going to be on the horizon in...
No.
20 plus 30 years?
No way.
No.
Okay.
But they have a whole team. It's fascinating.
I feel like that's kind of closed-minded if you think that it's just going to stay like this forever.
But how do you predict?
But I mean, all of his movies are built for 3D because he invented the Spielberg face.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
We're just going on everything.
But yeah, so it's they cost a lot of money and time to convert these things, and I'm sure that when it's released on Blu-ray 3D, it will make some more. But I thought $300,000 is kind of weak opening, because the millions it takes to convert it, that's...
I wouldn't say it's a weak opening. It's a weak reopening.
Right. But also, how many people haven't seen a 92 film that's revolutionary in theaters?
I feel like Jurassic Park is one of those movies that kind of transcends...
Yeah,
audience, it's everybody's seen.
I just feel like more people would have been like, hey, there's nothing out this week. Let's go watch Terminator in theaters.
Outside.
I think that's
beside the point. That's a whole
that's what
different
you got going on.
It's got good weather too. At least in St. Louis. Not in Texas.
No. Yes.
It's a light week of movies, so we've been kicking around this idea we've been thinking about for a while, and when we're slow on movies, we thought we would tackle this, and we're calling it, I guess, the 0% project. So.
Yeah, 0 hour?
Yeah.
don't say it. That's a...
We'll get sued by DC.
DC Comics. Yeah.
I don't think they had
an event that was called 0 hour.
Yeah.
You can't call something else Infinity Crisis.
But it's not... We're not a comic book.
They don't care. They sue people who use the Superman font.
Superman font?
Yeah, the font that is the super on Superman comics. They own that specific font.
Oh, I see.
So...
They sue everyone that uses Comic Sans.
Yeah, right.
They should. They're doing the Lord's work, then, is what they're doing.
So the premise behind this is that there are movies that are on Rotten Tomatoes that have
big fat goose egg
percent approval.
Some of these are very
unfresh.
Yeah, some of these I was kind of like...
No, they're not, Dan.
I admit that there's a lot of deep fried tacos on this list, but there are some I was like, what?
Yeah.
And especially some of the older ones. Now, to Tom's point, there wasn't a lot of critics at the time.
Right. So
there's Gene Shalit.
Right.
And
Siskel and Ebert.
Siskel and Ebert. Pauline Kael. Rex Reed.
Richard Moulton.
Rex Reed.
Not
Richard.
Seven.
Richard Moulton.
Yeah, Leonard. Richard Moulton, but that's the guy from Night Court.
Moose.
So there weren't as many people to review movies, where nowadays anybody with an IP address can be a movie critic.
You've got two IP addresses.
Yeah. Case in point.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So we thought we would, when we're light on movies and we don't know what to do, we will just reach into the grab bag and pull out a 0% movie from Rotten Tomatoes. So,
did we ever?
We are kicking off the 0% project with, drum roll please, 1979's Roller Boogie.
Ooh, buddy.
So,
I was hoping this was going to be a really bad horror movie. It's not.
Because of starring Linda Blair.
Linda Blair. Linda Blair, who is coming off, I feel like Exorcist.
Two.
Yeah, okay.
The Heretic.
Do you ever see Three?
Yeah.
Three is fantastic.
It has one of the... Three actually ties better into the first one. And it has one of the best scare scenes ever.
Yes, it does. Three's
right down the hallway.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Ooh, and the trench coat? Is that what you're talking about?
The nurse.
There's a... it's got George C. Scott.
Hmm? Yeah.
And it's kind of tied
And Father Karras.
And Father Karras is in it. Oh, man. So
and
good.
Brad Dourif.
Very young Brad Dourif.
Yeah, and there's two cuts of that movie.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Well, one with Brad Dourif and one with, I don't know,
They like upped his role in it, or
he was good.
Yeah.
It's good. Anyway, yeah. Back to this one.
Anyway,
yes.
Yeah.
This is, I would like to know, first of all, if you said Tom and Dan. So in this movie, the opening.
So wait, how old were you in 79?
12.
Tom?
I would have been 8 for
Kevin?
The bulk of it.
What? No, we weren't alive, Joe. But so in the opening of this movie, pardon me, there were like flash mobs of roller skaters.
Yes.
Everywhere. Was that a real thing?
That was Venice Beach.
Yeah, Venice Beach, like,
and partial Santa Monica. There's a definite like line of demarcation between Venice Beach and Santa Monica now, especially if you go there. There's gentrification on one side. And there isn't on the other.
There's an Everclear song about one of them.
Yeah, I mean, if you, but I mean, I was like, oh, Venice Beach.
But which, just like,
well, and it's like, this is where they shot the a lot of the opening credits for Three's Company, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh really? Yeah. I mean they're on roller skates in Three's Company.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. Venice Beach is. I mean, it's, you'd be surprised how often it's, if you've ever been there, you'd be like, oh my god, I've seen this, you know,
a billion times.
So yeah, I've been to Venice Beach, but when I went, you know, in 2000, whatever, it didn't look like this, covered in kids on roller skates. And so was it really a thing where thousands, like everyone just strapped on their skates and went roller skating around
if
and dancing on roller skates?
Skate? Yeah.
Wow.
People used to skate a lot. I remember seeing people skate around the neighborhood, especially younger.
You can always kind of tell when something from that era became a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah.
Because television shows of the day would try to co-opt it,
yes.
Right? So okay. when Star Wars became, even if it made no sense, right? So like when Star Wars became popular, all of a sudden there's an alien on Happy Days,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Jaws becomes popular. Next thing you know, Fonzie's jumping a shark.
Okay,
right? Like that. That's what's driving that. There were three different sitcoms based around fraternity houses after Animal House.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you would see this all the time. There were two shows that were clearly ripoffs of Indiana Jones, what, Tales of the Monkey?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was, and there was Stephen Collins.
And there was another one that was like that, too, like an Indiana Jones type show.
Yeah.
Besides Young Indiana Jones.
Uh-huh. That was a good show.
And so roller skates, I mean, you would see, I mean, the first couple seasons of Facts of Life, that's why Tootie was on roller skates.
She's
on roller skates.
Yeah.
Well, they also said part of that was because she was so short, she wouldn't be in frame,
yeah,
so it was a way to get her up higher.
Oh,
but,
Blair.
But she was on roller skates for the first, what, 2-3 seasons of that, mm-hmm, before they finally let the poor kid off skates.
Yeah. She hit puberty.
Yeah.
It was just amazing to see this.
It was a thing. There were skating rinks. Tons of skating rinks.
Yeah. And that's what Joe and I grew up with if you were skating and it was popular, you went to a skating rink and did it.
Well, when they showed in this opening scene, when they panned down Venice Beach, like, you saw how many skating rinks they had.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't... I mean, this movie was too low budget to create fake skating rinks to make it look... Yeah. You know, and also...
Oh, this was low budget?
Yeah. I mean, ish. I mean, honestly, I don't think it was, like, a crazy low budget for the time. I mean, it, you know...
Was she popular? Was she...
Linda
Blair? Was she popular coming off of The Heretic? Like, was she a sought-after
actress?
Well,
I think this is her attempt to branch out.
Break away.
Yeah, to not just be a horror
movie. It's funny,
movie.
I just watched a documentary called The Psycho Legacy. That talks about Norman Bates. What's his name?
Anthony Perkins.
Anthony Perkins, how he tried
so hard.
Really. Yeah. And they were just like, you don't understand how good he was. Like, the nuances he did in Psycho, he never got away from that. And then by, like, Psycho 3, he just steered into the curve.
Yeah,
he just gave
up. He wouldn't do anything like that for years.
Yeah.
And then they finally, like, for... They
oh, I guess
like,
it was 2. He
Psycho
brought him
2,
back for 2.
And then he was just like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just made a bunch of money.
Yeah. I think I remember, like, before that, he was in a TV version of Bang the Drum Slowly, and if you never had a chance to see that, he was so good at it.
Yeah,
and
I
he
said
was
that,
such
like,
a good actor.
You don't like. I'm trying to think. It was the director and writer of 2. They're just like, you don't understand. Like, they said that Hitchcock would, everything would be storyboarded, and you would not deviate from the storyboards. And then the scene, I think, on the steps between Norman Bates and the detective, they both like
Martin. Balsam, something like
that. Is that his name?
Yes.
Like, they were going over the scene, and then he went to Hitchcock and was like, can we try this? And he's like, let me see it. And Hitchcock was like, do that.
And that must have been good because like Hitchcock doesn't deviate.
He does not deviate. No. Like that's what they're saying. They're like, you don't understand how good he was until it was too late.
But I mean, I think it was a fairly decent sized budget for the company. They were the people that they were using all the money they made off of Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Oh, you're right.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right. Yeah.
And so but there were like you figure in a short time frame, in addition to the television shows that had roller skating in them, you had this movie. You had, I think the year before this was, what, Skate Town USA?
Ooh.
Yeah. And the year after this was Xanadu, which is weird because you watch this and you think it's a poor man Xanadu, which is odd because I always thought Xanadu was a poor man Xanadu. But, this actually predates Xanadu. Yeah.
So I totally thought that this ripped off Dirty Dancing. And then I was like,
predates it by almost a decade.
Right, right. I'm like, Dirty Dancing ripped this off. Like, it's the exact same premise.
Yeah.
This film was shot in 8 weeks.
I believe it.
That's weird. I never connected that.
It's the exact same premise as Dirty
dance
Dancing.
Competition.
Yes. The rich girl that their parents don't want, you know, like the whole thing.
It also has a very similar, it follows a lot of the same beats, or should say,
created the beats.
Yeah, created the beats that
we got the beats
that Footloose follows.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Even
totally
down to like, I'm so upset, I'm going to go have this solo dance.
Yes.
But you know, where no one can see me and I'll just dance my frustrations away.
Be fine.
I like this.
With my perfectly coiffed hair.
I like the sweet car she drove in, especially her car. That
dude, that
huge,
was a sweet ass car.
Old car.
It was nice to see Chitty Chitty Bang Bang getting work again.
Can you imagine driving to school in like a big like Rolls Royce looking with that tire on the side?
No, I live in South City, man. Like we drove a beat up truck.
But holy cow, that was amazing.
Hoping that it wouldn't get stolen.
I saw this movie in the theater.
No,
and
I did too.
No,
like I'm watching this movie and I'm like, this feels kind of familiar. And when they got to the dinner party scene, I was like, this feels familiar, but this scene's in a lot of movies from this era. Like, but then when they're like racing down the streets on roller skates, I was like, I totally saw this movie in the theater.
Why?
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because there were two movies in theaters.
There was two movies in the theaters, and I think I was in seventh grade, and we were going, it was Greg Key's birthday, and we were all in school, and all the boys were invited to go to, like, his mom, instead of a birthday party, she was going to take us to the movies, and we all said, let's go see Roller Boogie, because our intention was to sneak out of that. At the same time, there was 10.
You are the worst at sneaking into movies.
No. We ended up perfecting it. And the way we were able to do it was actually, we saw it in the Three Stooges, was walking in backwards, and it worked.
No,
we totally snuck into heavy metal walking in backwards.
Wait.
And I think it's because the people...
It was such a ridiculous notion.
The people looked at us and watched us doing it.
Wait, how did we get to heavy metal?
Because that's the one where we finally succeeded.
I see.
Did you walk in backwards to a crowd that was leaving?
Yes.
They're like, they're fine.
I swear. We walked
and
in backwards
you and
sat
just
down.
Worked.
And people were just like looking at us.
You need to write
granted,
this stuff
down. I think
down.
They were older. But so when we said we're going to go see Roller Boogie because we knew that 10 was playing. So there's like 8 or 9 of us, and we all go in, and we're all sitting there to watch Roller Boogie, and then we're like, all right, let's go. And this was at the old Cypress Theater on the Rock Road.
Isn't this
and
where you got
they
caught
had a concession.
The first
well,
time?
We got caught. This is actually
the second
that.
Time.
This,
yeah, right,
this
yeah.
is the first time.
Oh,
there was that concession stand, and there was a theater on either side of the concession stand.
But the problem was the concession stand was like a half wall. So we literally walked out of the theater,
crawled.
Got down on our hands and knees, and there's 7... You know, like 12-year-old boys trying to crawl like, you know, we're in, you know, basic training to the other theater. And yeah, I think they watched
There's
us
just
do
like
it.
One guy
they let
like,
us do it. We got
around.
In there. And then, of course, like you're going to go into a theater and spot the 12-year-old boys.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
They were going to wait until the scene right before Bo Derek takes her top off.
Oh,
and then
man.
They pulled you out.
And there we were. And I saw like 5 minutes of 10. And then they grabbed us. And
was that a Canon movie? That wasn't a Canon movie, was it?
I don't think so.
And because this is where Dan developed his cornrow fetish.
Yes. I saw enough of it. And then boom.
That was just
back in the Roller Boogie. Says like, I guess we're going to watch Roller Boogie. So
great. You got a lot of jiggle in this though.
There
yeah,
is.
Yeah. yeah. There's this is
Linda
a
Blair who stuff is extremely attractive.
Oh my gosh. When she has that workout outfit in the beginning, I'm like, 10. That's a 10 for me.
Yeah,
right,
I did
there.
Not realize. Like, I just picture her as Reagan. Like, that's
right.
My, you know, but hello.
And no, apparently she's probably secretly the mother of Amy Schumer.
It's unbelievable.
She looks a lot like Amy Schumer.
Like, identical to Amy
Schumer.
It's
funny because Joe messaged that, and then Tom said the same thing, and I'm like, I thought the exact same thing. I'm watching it, and Katie walked in, and she goes, is that Amy Schumer? Like, I mean, it's undeniable because everyone that sees her.
That doesn't happen often where you see two actors who are so completely on opposite ends of the spectrum who, like, you know, I mean, she's probably, what, 20 in her 20s in this movie?
Yeah.
Give or take?
Yeah, I think so.
And it's, go look at a picture. I think we'll post it on the show notes, how much they look alike. And they sound alike.
She does that same kind of closed mouth smile.
Yes.
That Amy Schumer does.
Yeah.
And, I mean, their faces just look identical. That's, I mean, they have the exact same facial
like
structure.
Like their own structure.
Yeah, there's no other
cheeks.
Amy Schumer's mom might have some explaining to do.
Or dad.
Yeah, that's true.
But you know what? You're right. She should have done that movie that Goldie Hawn did.
I know. Like, bring Linda
Blair.
Should have
been Linda Blair.
Snatched.
They would have, looked exactly like. She's still alive, right?
Linda Blair's still alive. Yeah.
Just making sure.
She also has steered into the curve as well. She knows that she can make.
She's goes to conventions.
Yeah, exactly.
And, yeah.
Linda Blair.
She should be parents in 50 Shades of Grey movies.
What is that?
Well, like
Kim Bassinger.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah.
I mean, just playing the total crazy mom.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, like somebody like Tarantino needs to kind of resurrect her career.
Yeah. Yeah, she never got a. Did she ever do anything that was noteworthy after Exorcist?
She was in. I mean, she had a couple TV movies that were very well received.
Roller Boogie.
And then Roller Boogie. And she was in what? Airport 75?
Yeah, she was in one of those.
Remember the scene in Airplane?
Yeah.
Airplane.
Yeah.
Where there's the kid, it's the actress that played Julie on The Love Boat.
Sure.
And she's getting some sort of transplant. She's dying or something. That's what they're okay, in Airport 75, there's a kid who needs a kidney transplant, and that kid is Linda Blair. So that scene is very much a poke at.
Apparently she was
Vicky.
Yeah.
She was playing, it was the actress who played Vicky.
Vicky, yeah. She
was
Julie was
Captain Stubing's daughter.
Yeah, Julie was the coked up
cruise
director.
That's right. Yes, she was.
She was a heretic, apparently, which was like the spoof of The Exorcist with Leslie Nielsen.
Who was?
Linda Blair.
Oh, well, that sounds about right.
Yeah, right.
So this movie.
Yeah.
So it opens with this big,
massive,
giant, like, skate number. I will say,
these are professional skaters.
I will.
Oh, really? I had no idea.
I will say, compared to a lot of movies that we see where it's supposed to be a certain thing, they don't skimp on the skating.
Unlike Fast and the Furious, where they no longer do car races.
Right.
This is like the opposite of Captain Boomerang and Suicide Squad.
Yeah, right.
If you have a fetish for roller skating, like, this is your movie.
It begins and ends with roller skating.
Yeah,
it's like they you get a lot of skating and they did
and boogieing.
And
I mean, there's a lot of boogieing.
There is also an ample amount of boogieing. That is true. I found it fascinating that. Like, I, you know, reading up on how many professional skaters they hired for this movie and, like, how low the threshold must have been to be a professional skater.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, most of them were pretty bad. And not even bad, but just, like, you're like, this is the upper echelon.
Just go forward.
Only needed, like, three in the front who could actually skate.
That main character
the rest
triple
just,
axles.
Yeah, the rest just had to make sure they could stand up and go and follow behind
them.
Yeah,
right.
Okay, so I have a very serious question. So the main character, other than Linda Blair, who's this rich kid that's trying to enter this...
Linda Blair's the rich kid. He's the
main
character, Bobby James.
Yeah,
he's the scruffy guy.
So
from
I'm
the
saying,
streets.
Besides from Linda Blair, who is a rich kid that is trying to learn how to skate and dance, she runs into this expert dancer, boogier, skater guy, and he is like, he's a professional trying to join the Olympic team, and he's doing triple axels.
Somebody please have informed the screenwriter that there is no Olympic category for roller skating?
What I'm trying to figure out, this is my serious question, is he practicing for ice skating, and that's how you practice for ice skating?
I think he is, or else...
Because they do triple axels and stuff in ice skating.
But at no point do they ever reference ice skating in the film.
And they're not the same.
Right.
They actually don't work the same
way.
No,
I would think that, yeah, a
ice
blade in the middle and a
skate aren't quite the same.
Right, no, I would agree.
I'm glad I'm not the only one, because I'm like, wait a minute, the Olympics for roller skating, or he's a skater on ice?
Which they don't say that until a little bit later, where he's like, I got to practice for the Olympics. And I'm just like, what is going on in the Olympics?
It's one of those things that I'm like, I go, maybe they're trying to, because I had the same question. I was like, what?
We've taken baseball out of the Olympics, but roller skating? Coming back in 2019.
Regardless, this guy was talented because he was doing triple axels on roller skates.
He was good.
I will say, though, that it's like, and I know those roller skates, especially back then, were heavy, but like, he never got up very high, like compared to an ice skater.
I had a basketball coach say one time, that guy couldn't jump past his ankles. I was just like, oh
yeah,
but yeah, this guy was like apparently they had hired him to be the stunt double, and then they couldn't find anybody that
couldn't get Patrick Swayze
that could play the role, and so they were just like, well, we'll make you the guy, and then because of that, ironically, he couldn't do a lot of the skating for insurance purposes.
Oh my god!
And they had to hire a stunt double. Did you ever see Sleepaway Camp?
Sure.
No. Oh yeah.
Okay. So
I watched it based on your guys' recommendation.
That's right. So like the acting ability of those people in Sleepaway Camp, like especially the guy who runs the camp, reminds me of this guy. Like,
he's
so
never
awful.
You know what else you would know this guy from?
No,
nothing.
Oh,
he's never been in another thing ever. No. If you go to IMDb, he has one credit. There's not like he showed up in a documentary about roller skating, he's in a DVD extra about roller. There's none of that.
Did you make sure to check that he didn't die in a terrible Olympic skating accident?
Yeah.
And that's why they stopped doing roller skating in the Olympics?
He does appear to still be alive, but you can't find almost no information about him. What's that?
What year would the Olympics have been that year?
It'd been 80, right?
80.
Okay, so at least timeline wise.
So well, I mean, like, every 4 years,
they're like, there's Olympics coming up. That's what he's for.
Yeah.
No, okay. I mean, it was this premiered in December of 79.
But you have a 2 year window on either side. So like,
not then you didn't.
You didn't?
It was four years.
They did summer and winter in the same year, and it was 4 years.
That flip thing is, what, 10 years old?
Something like that.
Years old?
It's fairly recent. Yeah. It's not, back then it was.
They were just like, we got to figure out how to milk this for all we can do.
No, you would like literally have summer and winter. So everybody went Olympic fever for, you know, that whole year.
At least logistically. Like at least in 96, I remember. Man, I'll never forget 1996. Carrie Strug.
Yeah.
Making that vault.
Oh, yeah.
Bella Caroli.
That was such a phenomenon. Like, it is up there with the number one, like, the things we remember from history growing up. You know, like, O.J. Simpson chase.
Yeah.
Carrie Strug.
Man,
like, those are one of those things.
I've watched sports my entire life, right? So, the World Series where the Cardinals won in 2011, the two games back-to-back were big games. I will never forget sitting on the edge of my seat when Carrie Strug hits that first vault.
And breaks her ankle.
No, she sprained
it.
And then she pops up. Oh. And we're just like, well, that's it. It's over. And then she hits it.
She was the David Freeze of her time.
She was the David Freeze of her time.
I mean, it was amazing that she went back out there and then just like collapsed the second time.
Did you have that moment? I actually did not watch the...
I remember Chris Kattan playing her. As her brother.
Yeah.
Chris, Strug. Oh, that was good stuff.
You guys don't remember that?
I remember it. Yeah. It just didn't resonate.
What about Nancy Kerrigan?
I remember that.
Yeah.
That was the same year. No, that was 92.
But that wasn't like my. I don't know. I think Challenger exploding was probably the biggest thing.
Yeah. Oh man!
What live event? Well, especially because you know, as a teacher.
Oh yeah, that's true.
And almost Big Bird.
Ooh, glad we dodged that bullet.
Hmm.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't. I didn't know Big Bird was supposed to be on there.
They were in talks Carol Spinney to have, because they were doing like, let's have a civilian, and they had talked to, you know, teachers, and they had also approached Sesame Street, and they almost, I mean, they started.
They wanted Big Bird on the
discussion.
My God, in the suit?
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
Oh my God.
So when I worked at Scottrade, they used to, you know, Sesame Street would come through, and they had the way they would get that costume on is they would lower it onto the person, so they have Big Bird hung up by its throat, and then they lower it onto the person. So I didn't have a, like, that was my day job. So they're like, your job today is just to sit here behind this curtain and make sure nobody comes back.
Right?
Because they got hit in like San Diego or something where a kid walked through the curtain
and saw Big Bird hanging,
by his neck. You know, like, and it's not stable, right? Yeah. So like it's all flipped over and everything, but the kid walked in and saw Big Bird.
But why they were like, kid, it's not what you think. It's autoerotic asphyxiation. It happens all the time.
So this movie,
that's why he's molting.
Yeah.
So the girl, Linda Blair, plays baby, and she's basically trying to go to. She's her parents are rich. They have all these Rolls Royces.
She's an all star musician.
I think she takes like a lowly Mercedes to school because you know she can't drive a Rolls Royce. She's got to take the Mercedes
with the white walls.
But it's beautiful. It's an amazing car. Which he drives it to school and parks it
also,
around all
like,
these
people
other,
are putting their feet on it.
Yeah,
like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're climbing on it, and I'm
not,
like,
it's
are
not
you,
like it's a like a Mustang or something. Like they're just they're
you know what though that is what teenagers would do.
That is true.
Gave a teenager a car like that, they would have zero respect for it. So
I just couldn't believe that when, like me, I'm just like, oh my god, these kids are climbing all over this classic, amazing looking car.
But yeah, she's a world class flautist.
Is that what they're called?
Yes.
Flautist. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
That.
Yes. And on her way to Juilliard, she's so talented that apparently they let her in a string quartet.
Yes.
Isn't that weird how that works?
They're like, there's a string quartet and then a flute player.
Yes.
Right.
And then a quartet. So there's four of them.
So
and then a flautist.
Now, so she is so good. Not only did they add a fifth person to a quartet, but she doesn't play a stringed instrument.
No.
Well, that's why it's a string quartet and a flautist.
Yeah. I mean, they don't. I like that they don't make her. They didn't really make her spoiled.
No, or, she seemed like she had a good head on her. The parents were D-bags.
Well,
just,
it's Dirty Dancing.
They were rich D-bags.
Well, I guess
okay, I'm
going to
go kill myself.
Brat.
Okay, honey, have fun.
Yeah. Like, so the mom and dad are constantly leaving, and they're just like, she goes, they don't tell me anything. And I was like, you're 18. That sounds all right.
Yeah.
Why are you complaining?
I can go do whatever I want with my money
and
my car.
I have all this money in the car, and I've got a butler and a maid. Yeah. I've got it made. This is wonderful.
So I've got it, which was also a 70s sitcom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
We've got a maid. Yeah, about two bachelors that what somehow inherit a maid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, they just would throw anything against the wall and see what stuck.
They would.
Yeah.
They
would. Well, I guess indeed. We only got four channels, and you've got 20.
You got three networks back then.
You've got to fill up sometime, somehow. It can't all be game shows.
No.
Not all Joker's Wild.
So they go to the roller rink.
So yeah, so she goes down to the boardwalk, and our main actor is just like, check out this lady. And I was like, I don't blame you. I would check out Linda Blair as well.
Yeah, the 70s were very rapey.
Yeah,
oh
my god.
Unbelievable.
That scene where he grabs her is so uncomfortable and will not let go.
Yeah.
I mean, you could never do that nowadays.
No,
ever.
No, you could. You just make that guy the villain.
He would just be the villain.
I could not believe he was the lovable, enduring love interest.
I'm pretty sure. Like, at one point, I thought he was gay. Like, they do that scene, and then later in the movie, he goes super feminine for whatever reason. Like, it was very weird. Like, in the scene where...
And some of his movements
and
are
even
very,
his inflection on
are,
words...
Are very effeminate.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't tell if, like...
He was supposed to be like, ha, baby.
I couldn't tell if the actor was gay or if it was just that, like...
He's got to figure out how to butch this
he's
up.
He's a roller skater doing triple axles.
Right,
you know,
like that is kind of an effeminate thing.
I mean, the guy... The guy who was her butt, who tried to like get Nancy McGillicuddy.
Yeah.
But also that guy.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay.
And his initials were BJ.
Yeah, the friend / rapey guy.
Rapey McGee.
Rape assailant. Yeah. that's the /
the guy who kept like trying to grab her and
there's a whole scene.
Around and when she goes to the garage and he's there with a towel wrapped around
because
himself.
He had cake thrown on him and he can't put
mean the rich
because
like the good guys were doing it too.
They were
good guys.
Yeah,
so
there was no like there's no point where you're just like you could go to jail for assault. That's not okay.
What's also weird is just watching it with a modern eye.
That's true.
Is that the rich guy like grabs for her thigh, like with the slit in her dress,
and
like gets a
go right in there, man.
A tray full of food, and we punch him in the face, and hooray!
Right.
And the quote unquote good guys are doing the exact same stuff.
Like, oh, stop.
And we're like, oh, it's so silly and funny.
They're so handsome.
Yeah.
But so this is where we see that Bobby James is this amazing skater. We later find out he's trying to practice for the Olympics.
For the Olympics.
But he can dance. He can do these triple axles. He can skate
he's
backwards.
He's like the Justin Timberlake of
roller
skating. Yeah,
he's this amazing skater. And here we have Linda Blair's character who doesn't know how to dance on skates. So she's just skating around the rink. And she caught his eye earlier, and then in this scene he's like trying to get her to dance. He has a bet with this other buddy of his for $5,
which always ends well.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Any movie I've seen without, like, you know, I'll make you a bet that I can date that girl.
Yeah.
Challenge accepted.
So then later on when she's off the rink, he's like keeps trying to talk to her, and this is when he grabs her. Mm-hmm. and
is
it
this
was
so fall?
He's very handsy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. There's a person that can't skate that is about to like run her over.
Who is oddly probably the best skater in the movie.
I thought you knew who that was.
No, I tried to look him up. Okay. I really couldn't find any information on him. But like, he's so good at skating bad, he has to be amazing.
to be able to make it look believable and not kill someone, like he has to be able to control
or
looking
himself.
Bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Literally, he's doing headfirst dives into like
he's like
walls.
The clown prince of rollers boogie.
But so this Bobby James character basically like tackles her off the rink to quote unquote save her. And then he holds her and won't let her go.
This is all during the Cher theme song, right?
Yes.
Yes.
She's Hell on
like,
Wheels.
Because right off the bat, I'm like, oh, Cher. I mean, there's some production value behind a Cher song,
is,
right?
This was a double LP. Yeah. There's a
Cher. Oh, really?
Well, because they envisioned this to be the Saturday Night Fever of roller skating.
Yeah.
So
this is they didn't know that this was, that the floor was about to fall out from disco. This came out.
Yeah, because this came out like right after the Chicago disco demolition.
Yeah.
And so they were like, oh no, because
what have we done?
Because it made it very cool to hate disco.
And I gotcha.
So they were like,
oh no,
edit faster.
What about roller skating? I don't know the history.
Can we set this to punk music?
Well, yeah, no. you can't roller skate to anything but disco. I mean, it's a crime.
You can't do it.
Because there was a, you know, there was a little bit more life left in roller skating. Well, the thing with roller skating, though, is like, especially here in the Midwest, is that we had so many rinks, you know, but they became kind of a,
there's still a few
place
that are around.
To dump your kids off.
Yeah, that's
what
kids,
that's what
they
are now.
You know?
Yeah, sure. That's what they evolved
into.
My kid
has...
Boys only. Couples only.
You got to skate backwards. That's
good. Yeah.
I was like, you know, no, I'm good. I can't do that.
There's not
that's how you sneak in. You skate backwards. You get in for free that way.
Just recently, you know, I've got a 6-year-old and she's had a bunch of birthday parties.
Just recently, you got a 6-year-old?
We picked her up.
Okay.
We grew her.
You can get anything at Costco.
Yeah, that's right. 6-year-olds, whatever. But they've all done skating parties.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what?
Where?
What? So there's a place called Great Skate that is still around. The Skadium is still around. A Skadium is the only reason that's still around is because the St. Louis men and women roller derby practice there, but you can rent it out, and it is a hole. Like, it is, you walk in and like the smell hits you and you're just like, oh boy.
Well, yeah.
Oh,
and this is
buddy.
I mean,
it smells of,
I don't think they've gone the way of drive-ins.
No, but that's probably true. So yeah, so she doesn't want to be like, she's going to Juilliard, she doesn't really want
to go. She's going to go to Juilliard.
Yeah, she's going to. Is that what it is?
Isn't that it?
In honors.
Yeah.
Right.
She's
Juilliard. She's
like, has she gone? Or
she's not
she
just like,
the,
I think she's getting ready to go.
She's getting ready to go.
I don't think
go.
We have to split hairs on that. Sorry.
Yeah, she's getting
I
ready.
Even ask that.
She's leaving in the fall.
Yeah.
Right.
But she is so, she's not just like your rank and file Juilliard.
Right. Except
she's like top honors.
She's
honors.
Yeah.
Which
we don't, is that a thing?
I kind of doubt it.
I don't know how fact checking they've done.
Well,
they
have like
already aren't sure about the Olympic thing.
They didn't even fact check whether or not roller skating was an event in the Olympics.
They have pro wrestling in the Olympics,
and it's a motivating factor for the main character.
Oh, it's huge, and it is one of those things that is like, wait, it's not the same thing, you know.
They're so confident that like it had me second guessing myself. I was like,
I was like the same way.
Well, maybe it is.
Maybe they ran out of sports. They're just like, we got to fill up some TV time. I know, roller skating.
All right, well, we're at the rink now, so we better go forward instead of backwards.
So like, he kind of says, she's like, I want you to teach me how to skate. I'll pay you $10 an hour. And I was like, $10 an hour, 1979.
That's some bank, that's a lot.
Plus, like, so you're going to pay me to hang out with you. Plus, I get to hang out with you. And plus, I already want in your pants.
You look like Linda
that's
Blair.
That's what I'm saying. And I was like, where do I sign up? I'll do it for $5.
You know, like, for like the first hour of this movie, I'm like, I remember that there was a villain in this movie.
Yeah.
And I remember the big finale where they're all fighting at the skate park.
Like the Warriors.
But I'm like, I know there's a villain in this movie. When is that going to happen? Like, I'm like waiting and waiting.
Into the movie, we figure out that
they're like, oh, yeah, stories need conflict.
We need a heavy.
We find out that the guy who owns the stadium, who also was like one of the greatest skaters of all time until he broke his kneecap.
Until he gained 75 pounds.
So he is...
In the big one. Well, he was skating in the big one, you know.
I kept waiting for him
to,
like...
Didn't they say he was a roller derby skater, though, right? Like, he wasn't, like, a fancy pants...
No, he was...
Oh, he wasn't an Olympic roller skater?
No, he's a rough-and-tumble roller derby guy.
But he'll hook you up with whatever you need at the old stand there.
He was James Caan. Put him on the shelf.
Yeah. Oh, man. Rollerball.
Yeah,
the original.
Yes, not the...
Not Keanu.
It was Chris...
Chris...
No, what?
Chris.
No. He was the guy from American Pie.
Yeah. Whatever.
Not Chris.
Chris something.
Chris Pine is the...
No, Klein.
Klein,
yep.
Is that what it is?
That was it.
It's Chris's other brother.
Yeah.
So we find out that the I guess they're the mob, I guess. They don't really say who they are. Like, nondescript businessman wearing an all-white suit.
It was the... co-pilot from Lost in Space.
They're threatening the owner that he's gonna sell so they can build a mall there.
Yeah,
it's so weird. That is so like two cultural things colliding.
Yeah,
and now neither one of them exists.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, that's fine. Think about that.
Yeah,
like these.
It's a battle of obsolescence.
And also, like, and not only are they mobsters and they're evil, but they're really bad real estate investors.
They're awful. Yeah. Like, why? Like Lex Luthor and Superman.
Like, bad.
It's like, why would you build a mall at the beach?
Yeah. What sense does that make?
It makes no sense at all.
None whatsoever.
You build high-end condos or
you build
something.
Like little shops.
Yeah, but you don't build a mall at the
giant
beach.
Mall.
Yeah.
So the guy's like, I'm not going to... Finally, he decides... I guess they rough him up a little bit.
Well, they tell him they're going to burn the place down
with
all the kids inside of it.
Yeah. Not like a mass murder. No big deal.
Well, this is the 70s.
Yeah, it was fine back then. You wouldn't get arrested for making a threat. So our heroes...
They happen to overhear it
through
an air vent that looks more like someone
cut
a hole in drywall and put like chicken wire
on it.
Something
tells me that's exactly what happened.
Do you think?
Maybe.
Well, and then there's a guy with him that becomes important later.
Right.
Phones.
I like that. I like this character. I don't know. I want a Phones movie. Like, can we just get a spinoff of just Phones where he's just... So he was a black kid rocking like giant
big old headphones.
Like,
and he always had his little tiny tape recorder.
He just happened to... So I guess he just goes around recording people?
I think they showed him when they were climbing to listen, they hit the record button.
Okay.
Yeah. Even though if his headphones are plugged in, it wouldn't record.
Correct.
Right. That's not how that works.
Certain things they forgot.
Right.
But that guy was on a lot of stuff. He was on...
Oh, really?
He was on The White Shadow. Mm-hmm. He was on Eight Is Enough.
Yeah.
He was...
He was a legit actor.
On 227. He was a dancer in the Beat It video.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the one that Prince was like, no.
Yes.
Prince was supposed to be the other guy in that knife fight.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And when he said,
boy, babe, so you can kick my ass?
Was it Beat It or was it Bad that he was supposed to
be? It might have been Bad.
It was the knife fight.
There's a knife fight in Beat It.
Yeah.
But then there's also like the two rival gangs in Bad. And Wesley Snipes, right, is the other guy.
Yes.
Well, Prince basically
said... I think it was supposed to be
Bad. No.
Yeah, Prince is like, absolutely not.
I don't think Prince would have been quite big enough...
82. No, he had... Maybe.
No. It was, I think it was Bad. I think
was it? Right. That was, 85?
So back to this movie.
Either way, Prince said no.
Recording, guy's scheme.
Yeah, bad guy. Yeah.
The guy who owns the skatatorium has been like, I quit. You guys can...
He kicks everybody out.
Everybody get out. And then they realize that...
And kids were very well behaved back then.
Yeah, they were like,
in the middle
man.
Of their big skate party, closing it down, get out.
Okie dokie. If you say so, sir. So we find out that Phones figures out that he has recorded this conversation. So our main character and Linda Blair realize we can blackmail him. And I was like, a bunch of 18-year-olds are going to blackmail a real estate guy?
You skipped the part, though, where they're going to go get her dad to help.
Oh, yeah.
Because her dad's this big hotshot lawyer. So they're going to get him.
Assaults his daughter. Like, you, I don't know how you come back from that as being a good character when you smack the shit out of your daughter.
It was the 70s.
But, like, she is not doing anything inappropriate. Like, she's just, I guess she's back talking.
All those movies back then the kid talks and they hit him.
The Philadelphia Story with Cary Grant. It opens with him grabbing Katharine Hepburn by the face and pushing her to the ground. That's the opening scene of the film.
Well, we're off to the races.
And he's like the lovable hero.
Crazy.
So, yeah, she goes in and the dad, she's like, that's it. You know, the dad is kind of saying, you're going to Juilliard and you're burning those skates and we're going to...
He's skating.
Jerry Orbach is just like, I can see this performance working. I'm going to go ahead and steal this. We figure out that, you know, the dad is in cahoots.
Right, because they go to this dinner party.
Right. And they see him.
It's funny because, like, before the dinner party, I honest to God, I'm sitting here thinking, these seem like the sorts of guys that would wear... Tuxedo t-shirts non-ironically. Like, and then the very next scene
they're wearing tuxedo t-shirts.
They show up to the dinner party in a tuxedo t-shirt.
I'm really glad that men's shorts have gone past the thigh.
Yes.
Like, how do their balls not fall out?
They did.
70s, man.
They did.
They did fall out.
All the time.
I was just like, I remember there was one scene where they're skating, and, like, I guess one of them goes, like, ass over tea kettle.
Oh, those little gym shorts mean?
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah.
Well, the scene where the guy's weightlifting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And like, his balls
and they
are
show
just going to be
the, up like, the leg. Yeah.
It's like a homoerotic up short video.
Yeah.
Can we say real quick, I think it was this scene or very close to it, when they're trying to get him to do something else besides do his 4 hours of skating practice a day, and he throws a tantrum.
No, this is where we realize he's bipolar, where he just he flips a switch.
He has a tantrum, which seemed so out of place from what we've seen the rest of the movie.
I gotta practice, guys.
I was like,
this
what?
Is really important.
I was like, what is happening? This character's going bananas.
He's one of those. It's one of those things where it's like it's something about Mary when he touches baseballs.
Yeah,
and he just goes. Off. I don't.
I just thought, how weird was it that, like, they're just trying to get him to go hang out or whatever, and instead of just being like, no, I gotta practice, goes crazy. I thought it was just a very odd scene.
I feel like the director was like, no, man, just go for it.
Just go nuts, man.
You wanna see nuts? Let's get nuts.
Jimmy Van Patten, by the way.
Who was?
The weightlifting guy.
Should I know who that is?
It's one of the Van Pattens.
One of the Van Pattens.
Should I know who they are?
They were like Hollywood royalty.
Oh, really?
Dick Van Patten was the star of Eight is Enough. And
lots of Love Boats.
Timothy Van Patten directed like 3/4 of The Sopranos.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then there's this guy.
Jimmy Van Patten.
This guy's balls hanging out
on a
weight
bench. He was in a couple of Saw movies.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was in like Saw 5 and 6, I think.
Dr. Hefner.
After 1 and 2.
There's another one. Like Saw 8 is coming out this October.
They were on a track for a while where it was one a year.
They've made so many, they're actually calling the next one Scene.
but they stopped. The last one was final whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
This one's Jigsaw.
Of course.
It's the prequel to see how Jigsaw
Because why not? That's what I want to see. There's a Leatherface prequel coming out, too, of him as a boy.
I thought it was funny, the party scene where it's like the classic 70s 80s slobs versus snobs,
right.
Isn't it, we're the really cool ones because we're so crude and don't understand how the world works,
Revenge of the Nerds.
But then it's like, of course, if there's a pool, they're all gonna fall in it. If there's a cake, somebody's gonna I was like, you're literally recreating the wedding scene from the pilot of the Brady Bunch. All that's missing was Tiger running across people's
like
laps.
I feel like they must have laced that pool edge with like Vaseline. Nobody could get it together. And they're not helping anybody. Like, people are just like, no, give me your hand. They're just like, nah, man, you're coming in too. So
Chekhov's pool.
If there's a pool nearby, chances are old people
just
are going
like
into
a fruit cart to crash into
or a plate glass.
There'll be a fruit cart coming up here later.
True. I forgot about that. There's a fruit cart. But they're like, no, these guys have guns. We'll throw apples at them.
Yeah,
that'll work. That'll show them. So they go back to the skate. They're like, we got it. So they tell, he's like, tell everybody the contest is on. We're going to do it. It's going to be great. And then they're doing, they get to the contest.
How is this going
to
save the rink?
That's not.
Okay.
There's nothing. To, well, no, so they have the tapes. They, the plan is they're going to play.
Yeah.
The,
so at the party, they realize that the dad, the mafia guy is a friend of the dad.
Right.
So
well, the dad is helping.
So the dad won't help him.
Right.
And so then they discover the tape.
Right.
And they were like, we'll have the roller boogie contest.
And then when they try to stop
and,
us.
And we'll blackmail. We'll play the tape.
Go get the California Police Department guy in the short shorts.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
the white T-shirt and the hat. Also on roller skates.
Yes.
I'm like, I don't think those. It's like, that never happened.
That cop looks like if Officer Krupke joined the Village People.
I'm sure if they were just like, Lieutenant Callahan, we need you to go ahead and wear these shorts. Along. He's like,
and then they're like, how is this guy on a bike every day?
He's not on a bike. He's on roller skates.
But he also rides. He's on a 10-speed.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, how is he on a bike every day?
This is Venice Beach Special Forces,
and
man.
He's still like 80 pounds overweight.
He was a big boy.
Yeah, he was.
But then like all of his cronies show up and they're all in the same uniform.
They're all in the same.
Where it's just like, we can't afford a cop shirt. Like a uniform shirt, so let's just buy a bunch of Hanes and just put like Venice Beach Police Department.
Yeah, it was.
But so a this bunch is, of went to the skates, Joe.
Yeah, right,
LAPD.
Right.
Yeah. So this LAPD.
Is, this is their big action scene.
Yes.
Right.
So the mobsters are chasing the kids and they're doing, you know.
The only thing I remembered from this movie. Like, I remember this.
It's actually
like,
not bad.
I was going to say, there's
it's
actually
pretty
like,
good.
As bad as this movie is.
That's the part I liked.
And it's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
It has some really good camera work.
Cool. I would agree.
Yeah. Like they're like
so okay. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah,
there's
the
a
guy
reason.
Who was the DP for this movie.
Right.
Is Dean Cundey. Right. Okay. So he did all of Carpenter's good movies.
Okay.
Yes. He did Back to the Future, mm-hmm. Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
He has an Oscar for cinematography.
Okay.
That's why.
That's
it looks
why the
that.
Movie looks
yeah,
good.
Yeah, because like, it's insane.
There's scenes where like the camera's on the ground and mm-hmm. they're like. They're skating over their like the camera's running between their legs and then there's a scene when this scene where they hit the skate park, which is funny to see a skate park without skateboards in it. Like it's all roller
skates.
That's
the only thing I was like, oh man, if they would have had some skateboarders, like be kind of like the like
I don't think that they exist yet.
Yes.
Skateboards?
They
yeah they do. I mean they were probably longboards.
But did that kind of culture exist yet? You know? I knew skateboards existed, but because Marty McFly invented them in 1955.
Yeah,
I'm not dumb.
duh.
But then in that scene, there's actually like kind of. I know this isn't what it is, but there's actually some clips that look like GoPro. Like you're getting some POV of the skaters doing like the skate park stuff, mm-hmm. like swooping in.
It's
and
just
up
the
and
GoPro
down.
Is 300 pounds,
right? Which makes it all the more impressive.
So, they're going around with the camera.
Yeah.
Like,
so he also did Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Roadhouse, Back to the Future 2, Back to the Future 3, Hook.
That's it.
Nothing but Trouble.
That's why this movie looks so good. Cinematographer for Hook.
Death Becomes Her, Jurassic Park, The Flintstones. I think he won for Apollo 13.
That would make sense.
Caster, he should have won for The Flintstones.
Like, he's got a career that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for
well,
sure.
Like, there is some really good camera work.
Yeah.
It just cracks me up, like, whenever you can tell that, like, even though that these are, like, the top skaters of the day, that as an overall skill, it hasn't quite reached peak level yet.
It hasn't gone
because like whenever they have them do, whenever they're doing like a stunt, like whenever it's like a guy skating and he's holding a girl over his head, you can tell that like they got everything staged and then they push them into frame. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like you
get, yeah,
like, yeah, they're like, just kind of like
is,
rolling.
So also, here's this one thing I can do. Like there's, you know, and,
okay, everybody stand still.
Because honestly, I think the best scene of the movie, and we kind of gloss over, it, is when he has that
teaching her
that reflection moment.
Sure,
and
as most movies like this had,
and
at
he's
that point.
Skating by himself.
Yes,
because it's the one time that you really see extended shots of someone skating,
right,
like,
by themselves,
by
not,
them,
in a,
like,
not in a group,
or even like, but just uninterrupted. Like it's not edited, or like here's 3 seconds of a trick. Like it's
right,
you know, like you just see this guy doing it, and you're like, hey, this guy is.
Pretty good.
Is pretty good.
Yeah. Yes.
And but real quick back to that training scene. Like that scene was so funny to me because it was like it's like
this is a montage, but you didn't montage it.
No.
Like, but like, also, you have the rights. You have Earth, Wind, and Fire. You
had
Cher,
a hell of a soundtrack.
You've got all these great songs, and here's a train. This is a training montage, and you forgot to montage. I've never seen anything like it.
Nope. But, like, they try to do the Dirty Dancing move.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, they even, and the guy's just like, no, I can't do it.
Yeah,
and
that's not gonna be.
We gotta try something
else. Peace Ways is like, I'll do it.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I got it.
Don't won't do it on skates.
Take my skates off.
Can
I know.
Tell you what my fantasy hockey team name is?
What's that?
Hattrick Swayze.
Hattrick Swayze. That's so good.
I think he was in a movie about hockey. I'm almost positive.
Youngblood.
So I have to find a picture of him in Youngblood.
That's amazing.
No, I'm gonna do that later.
And just real quick, in his solo, this will resonate with Dan, in his solo skate. What the hell are they doing to that Supertramp song?
That was weird.
That's such a good Supertramp song.
That was remixed,
song.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it was like a disco remix.
It's not Supertramp, I'll tell you that.
No, it's
like,
not.
It's
did
not,
they cover it?
No, Roger Hodgson wrote the song.
Yeah.
Oh. But, and the guy's trying to sound like Roger Hodgson.
Yeah,
his name was like Bob Esty or something.
Yeah, you're it's the guy who wrote the soundtrack, but you're just like, I'm like, something's not right.
And they
here.
Had a ton of money for music rights.
Apparently.
You would think Supertramp would be
attainable.
How
big was Cher in 79? Was she like right at the...
I think she still had her...
Right at the cusp.
Her show, right?
No, I think Sonny and Cher ended pretty quick.
No, but then it was the Cher
show.
Oh,
that's right.
She went on without Sonny.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, yeah. I have a Sonny joke. I'll leave it alone.
Yeah.
So they do this competition.
They do the competition. All of the guys show up. And try to shut the competition down, and then like they're so worried about this tape that they never get it. Like, I thought they were gonna do the switch.
Yeah, there's the
switcheroo.
The big pursuit.
Yeah, yeah. The switcheroo was gonna happen where he's just like, yeah, here's the tape, and it was gonna be music.
Yeah,
but they just played over the loudspeaker, and the dad's just,
you're thinking of of Escape from New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I know. The old switcheroo.
Yeah. And he just pulled the tape out.
No, they just
Raul Julia says hello.
They just play it.
Yeah, they just play it. And then the lawyer dad's like, nope.
This is kangaroo court.
This is invalid.
Yeah.
But that's the other thing.
And
is like,
who is he testifying to?
He's like in front of a jury. He's like, this is ridiculous.
Right.
And my client has done nothing wrong.
It's like just a bunch of kids.
It's a cop and a bunch of roller boogiers.
Yeah.
A bunch of roller boogers.
Yeah. Two cops in short shorts and a boogie kid.
He went like full Southern lawyer.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
Was like, I do declare.
Hold on.
Ladies and gentlemen
of the skate court.
You will not treat my client
skate
like
court.
This.
Oh, if this would have really worked.
This is a sequel.
Spinoff Skate Court.
Well, there was going to be a sequel.
Yes, there was.
Acapulco Roller Boogie.
Yes.
Wow.
Set in Mexico.
What?
Because why not?
Yeah.
How much did this make?
$13 million.
On
because
a, do we even
we don't know?
I don't know, but I mean,
know
I think
where.
It was considered a hit.
It had to have been profitable.
It had to be a hit.
It was considered a hit, yeah.
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 So that's the...
It's just that the disco died.
Yeah, right. The deal is thrown out. The kids are able to boogie
away.
Yeah,
I love the fact that the lawyer dad is like, I declare them like criminals, and then the cops are like, okay.
And they take
and
they
like,
what?
Like, I don't think
all
like
that's
did
how court works.
I mean, they have the recording of them threatening to burn down the thing, but that's,
you, it's a threat. You can't arrest somebody
that,
for a threat.
Yeah,
well,
you
sure you can.
Yeah,
can.
Yeah, yeah, but it was just like...
Well, have you ever worked in a court?
This yes, was, yeah. But I've never seen anybody ever get charged with a threat.
Well, it'd be like criminal conspiracy.
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah. That
legal
is not a charge
system
that happens
kind of
very
comes
often.
Into question here, but right. It's boogie court. So what do you do?
They get the only thing they know less about than the Olympics is the U.S. judicial system.
Or skating.
Yeah. Or skating.
This is like this court from, what was that last movie we watched with the court? The international court.
Oh, the Ryan Reynolds one.
The Hitman's Bodyguard.
We're just going to make this up. We don't know what it is.
Let's all wear these white wigs.
We'll adopt some pieces from the American one, from the British one.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, she goes, like, they have their little moment. They make out a little bit. And then she goes off to Juilliard.
Hey, well, she really lays on the tears. I'm like,
yeah, that's really
she,
rough.
Was she ever thought to be a good actress?
Well, not at that moment.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, I,
like, was
yeah,
there ever a time where they're like, she's going to be.
I think coming off The Exorcist, I mean,
I guess that is all her.
Yeah.
That's all her. That's just her in that bed.
Yeah, was she nominated?
I mean, she made her head spin all the way around.
I know, it was
around.
Crazy.
Right?
So,
I mean, but she definitely got a lot.
She won a Golden Globe.
Yes.
Golden Globe for The Exorcist.
Which is impressive.
Yeah.
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 It's no paper moon, but.
Well, and that's who won that year the Oscar.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Wow. Tatum O'Neal won the Oscar
okay.
that year.
I mean, that's, those so, some,
so that was a,
some high-power performances yeah. for children.
Yeah, absolutely yeah. there were.
So we kicked around some other movies. We won't get into them. We'll save them.
Yeah.
But
the one thing I want to go back we forgot about is that was so funny is when they're making out on the beach.
Yeah.
And he, like, stops in the middle of making out.
Yeah, what are you doing?
To be like, well, what are we doing? Are you going to pay me for this, too? I'm like...
You're making out.
I'm like, dude, Linda Blair is dry humping the living
Linda
crap
Blair,
out of you.
And they were, who looks like $1 million.
And like, they were not going to be just making out. Like, they were going to do it on
the
beach.
She had her hand close.
They were. Yeah.
And he was just like, ugh. That's what happened.
You know what it was? Yeah, he's playing it off. Like,
Are you going to pay me for this or what?
He's like, I'm going to need a grace period, if you will.
Yeah, this was,
I mean, I was hesitant about this movie. There were other ones that I wanted to do.
Well,
we could say the one we were going to do, but we didn't. It was Jaws 4, because How Did This Get Made just did it fairly recently, and we seemed kind of counterintuitive. But good call.
Yeah, I mean,
good call.
This wasn't the worst experience I've ever sat through,
really,
to tell you the truth.
It's very of the time, and for all, you know, and a lot of the terrible things that you see in this movie, you're like, well,
this is the 70s.
Yeah. It's a lovely time capsule of the period.
I actually like Xanadu better. I actually enjoy Xanadu.
You just like Olivia better.
I was like, when did Xanadu come out? And I checked, and then I was watching clips from Xanadu on YouTube, and I'm like, I know why I like this
Dan
movie.
Fell down the Xanadu rabbit hole.
I realize why I like the movie so much, and it's because of all the muses, not just Olivia, but the rest of them.
Yeah.
And Gene Kelly.
Oh, I forgot totally he was awesome in that movie.
Was that his last movie?
I think so. Yeah.
And he's great in
Gene
that movie.
Gene Kelly's in that?
Yeah, he has a great dance number.
I've never seen it. I used to call
Xanadu Zardos.
Gene Kelly on skates. Also,
that's impressive.
And he's good.
It's when like, can you look up when? So Xanadu was what? What year was that?
I think Xanadu was 80.
What 79 year
was,
or 80.
What year was the Apple?
The Apple.
Yeah.
The,
which was like Canon's. They were just like.
Xanadu is definitely 1980.
Okay. So yeah. Canon, on the success of Xanadu, was like, we can do that. And they made a movie called The Apple, which is like, that will be a 0%er. Like, there is no doubt. Look at it. It's awful.
Xanadu, I enjoyed. You know, you got the tubes, you got ELO.
That's
a lot
true.
Of good.
Yeah.
You know.
Don't bring me down.
Good music.
Yeah.
So there you go. There, our first entry in our 0% project.
The Apple is 11%.
Sorry, Joe.
Sorry,
so
just make
close.
The cut.
So close.
Just not quite happy enough.
How is that?
There's probably 10 reviews or 9 reviews. So that's.
On Wikipedia, they talk about this having one of the rare 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm like, you guys should check that because there's a ton.
There's a lot. It's a very long list.
But a lot of them are because, you know, like the 4 or 5 critics who were
around
documented.
This is, in 1958.
This is when Dan descends into the salt mines. This is the part that was boarded off that Dan was not allowed to go into.
This is where the canaries are just all dead in the back. Like, there's just trails.
We dynamited it so he couldn't get back in there.
Xanadu.
Xanadu.
Totally Xanadu.
Right. Absolutely. This is Skate Town USA. There's your triple feature.
Yeah,
so there it is.
So anyway, so that's it for this episode. We will go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBracket. And I just want to say thank you to everyone who listened to the show spoilers, our spinoff podcast. We're talking about Game of Thrones right now. And just to let you know, the first episode showed up automatically on the feed just to introduce it to you. But please do go either on iTunes or you can go on the Acast app or any of the other ones and search for show spoilers. And that's where all the future episodes will be. So the next one's going to be a Game of Thrones season 7 wrap up. And then eventually in a month when Mr. Robot season 3 comes out, we're going to go with that full time. Week to week. So thanks for supporting that, and if you like television discussion, check it out.
Cool. And you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find us as a show at facebook.com/real spoilers or on Twitter at real spoilers. Go to iTunes, rate, review, subscribe, all that fanciness. So coming up on the next episode, since it's a light week, we're still going to give you two, but we're going to tackle a Netflix movie entitled Death Note. So stick around for that. Until then, you've been warned.
Hey.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.